Over the last week, NPR has been reporting a series of stories on highway safety. The good news is that the number of road fatalities has dipped. The bad news?
The road is still a dangerous place.
On average, 100 people a day die in
That's a tiny crashes. Fraction of the 37,000 people killed in crashes last year.
And NPR listeners might have noticed that there is no shortage of ways that driving can kill you.
T-bone collisions, often at high speed.
Telephone poles.
Distracted driving.
The combination of horsepower and testosterone.
A lot of aging drivers.
And boulders.
Bad roads.
Rocks.
Trucks.
Trees.
Texting has emerged as the perfect storm.
And there are other dangers for cars.
You know what? I think we got it. Anyone who's been on a highway recently, and you may be stuck in holiday traffic right this minute, you know how crazy things get on the road. But with all these scary statistics and stern warnings about safety, why do Americans still love their deadly cars so much? This morning, I went out to a rest stop on I-95 in Maryland. Pat Smith from Richmond, Virginia, said he came close to dying just last week.
The lane in front of me was stopping. I stopped. I told my partner that was with me to hold on and brace for impact. Thank God for anti-lock braking systems now. She was still able to steer her vehicle and go around me on the right-hand side in the emergency lane.
Smith can talk about one close call after another, and yet he loves everything about driving, the power, the speed. Across the parking lot, Greg Fublas says his love affair is with the car itself, one car. His 2003 Honda Accord.
It's my baby. It's a nice ride, smooth ride. Pretty good features. I love it.
So even if your baby is a little dangerous, even if your baby is the thing most likely to kill you, you still love her?
Honestly, a lot of things can kill you. I love her, man. She get me where I need to go.
But it's not like car culture doesn't have a dark side for Fublas. His best friend died in a car accident a couple of years ago. I mean, he thinks about it, but it hasn't changed the thrill of driving. This paradox has been studied by anthropologist Catherine Lutz. She's the co-author of the new book, Carjacked, The Culture of the Automobile and Its Effects on Our Lives. We drive cars, she says, as naturally as we wear clothes, and we don't think about all the consequences.
That's the nature of culture, that it takes a lot for something that's become normal, that a whole culture is built around, our infrastructure, where we choose to live. All of those choices that come before the decision to get into the car make it very difficult.
For the book, Catherine Lutz interviewed people about what they loved and hated about the car. And one thing kept coming up, freedom. At the rest stop, I heard the same thing. Jim Brown from Centerville, Virginia, used to be a cop. He's seen some terrible accidents and has mixed feelings about cars.
You need them and you hate them and you love it. Everything else is that American independence to do what you want to do when you want to do it. Just think of it. Anytime you want, I can get up and go any place I want. I could drive to Massachusetts. I could drive to Cleveland right now. I can go to Walmart. I can go to the grocery store. I could sit at home, whatever I want to do.
Even if you're not going to do those things,
right.
Having the opportunity, the freedom.
Absolutely.
But freedom's also the problem, isn't it? All those other drivers exercising their freedom to swerve, clog up the road, text, apply makeup in the rearview mirror. But we can't change that, so we find ways to make us feel safer. Maybe it's a giant SUV, perhaps a Volvo with side airbags. Marlene Davis from Teaneck, New Jersey, uses an enhanced safety feature.
I pray each time when I'm taking a long trip like this, is Lord, take this car, bless my driving, and bless the driving of others.
That's a lot of pressure to put on God, because there's some crazy drivers out there.
Yes, 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 but I think he can take care of it. I think he can handle it.
Perhaps it does come down to control. Driving is obviously dangerous, but there's a catch. We feel if we are good enough, smart enough, alert enough, then we can avoid that danger. Pat Smith, the driver who had the close call, says he's an excellent driver. Everyone else we talked to said the same thing. I'm an excellent driver. But when I pushed Smith, he admitted that he had fallen asleep at the wheel twice and been in some harrowing accidents.
I used to drive fast when I was a kid, and I survived all of them days, too. So I just worry about my children on being on the road and hoping they don't drive fast. And
hoping they don't drive like you.
Hoping they don't drive like me. Right. Exactly.